All right, Tommy Points, episode 9. We're approaching double digits. We're not there yet. We got to go one episode at a time. But episode 9, we got Riley here, Color Sports. We got Dante on deck. We got myself, Ev from Ev Guy Boston. Guys, how we doing?
Great. Doing pretty good. Can't complain, man. I'm ready to talk some Celtics basketball with you guys.
Let's do it. It's like the best time of the week. And I hope everyone really watching is. This knows it's the best time of the week, too. I have to watch a show. But if you guys are watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the channel, like the video, comment down below if you agree or disagree, anything like that. We appreciate it. We love the numbers you guys are putting up. And every time we see that subscriber number go up even one, our day's kind of made.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, honestly. We appreciate all you guys. Make sure to subscribe and like.
Exactly. And okay. And one last little plug here. I know we're plugging the YouTube. Guys, we've had some merch for a little while now. I'm rocking the Tommy Points t-shirt right now. Ooh. It's clean. It's nice. Ooh. I'm not going to get up and do a whole model, modeling photo shoot or whatever. That's for the paywall that we're eventually going to have. People can pay for that. but we'll put that link in the description of the video or in the podcast, wherever you're listening to. I do have like a hoodie on underneath it because I have 2 feet of snow outside. We're not all like Riley. Riley told me before the show, he's seen snow twice in his life.
You, Watson? Yeah. Where do you, what? Okay, well, you're lucky. I've seen it twice in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, lucky South Florida.
You lucky bastard.
I imagine Florida doesn't get too much snow.
No. You're lucky. Shoveling was not fun yesterday. I'll say that. It was not fun.
I'm with you. But yeah, we got Tommy Points hoodies too. So if you do need to go out and shovel, you pick up a Tommy Points hoodie.
We got merch for anything you need. You're cold, you're warm. We got something for you. I wish I can just throw fire emojis all over the screen right now because that's all that the merch is, just straight fire.
It is nice. And we got a couple designs and whatnot too.
So make sure to check it out. Check it out. Yeah, see what you
not only for our podcast, it's paying tribute to Tommy.
There we go. Exactly. Yeah, so two things. You support us and also, you kind of show out for Tommy, RIP. Yes. But all right, let's get into episode 10. So I think we probably start the show talking about that Lakers loss. It was tough to watch, but Dante, before we hit the record button, you kind of felt inspired in a way. So instead of us, I feel like drowning in the sorrows of a loss when it's a couple games ago, they've already come off a win now against Golden State. What were you saying before we hit the record button that kind of like jumped out at you? Like, okay, you know what? It's a loss, right?
Yeah.
But what's the but?
So... 1 point loss to your rivals. That's a tough loss. It's a tough pill to swallow no matter what way you want to look at it. Kemba Walker didn't have a great shooting night, missed an open game winner. Like, there's things to be frustrated about. But what I took away from this game was Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are ready to lead a championship team. I think these two, I think they have proved enough. I mean, Jason Tatum has proved it for the last year. Jaylen Brown, I mean, in the small span of games that we've had around, well, let's just say 20, he's proved it. Like, these two guys are a 1-2 combo. Not even 1-2. They're 1-1. It's 1A, 1B. All you got to do right now with this team is just put talent around them. Just put the right pieces around Jaylen and Jason, because as long as you got those two guys at the helm, the top two guys, you're all set. You just got to make sure that you make it work around them. And, I don't know, what exactly, what moves they can make to do that, what exact players. But, just what I took away from that game is those two guys are ready. They had 58 points. LeBron 80 had 48. I'm not trying to compare them to LeBron and Anthony Davis, because obviously that's probably the best duo in the NBA, one of the best players of all time. But, they went toe-to-toe with them. And honestly, they look better than them in that game. It's just a matter of making sure the guys around them are able to help them out. Kemba Walker didn't have a great game, but just moving forward, I think that's what the vision is. Just surround them with talent and you're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah, just to feed off what Dante said, you know, about scoring LeBron, AD, you know, they actually outscored, except for Dennis Schroeder, you know, four of the five Lakers starters combined. So it just shows you they can carry the team, but they scored 57 points, you know. The rest of the guys on our team, the other 10 players, combined for 38 points.
Yeah.
You can't win like that.
It's no bueno, especially when you had 15 points off the bench. That's not good. That's not helping anyone. When you have 15 points off the bench, it's very hard to win games, especially close games like this against the Lakers. Like, you know, this is a team that you could potentially see down the line in the finals. You know, I'm just thinking hypothetically. If you have games like this in the playoffs and the finals, you are not going to win a single game. You're not. No. So I think honestly, the best way of going forward with this is getting a better bench, getting better pieces. And I know we've talked about that before, but I think Danny Ainge needs to be aggressive by the deadline. You know, maybe with the trade exception, I know we can hold on to it for a little bit longer. But I think Danny Ainge needs to be aggressive, because if you want to make a run, you got to make a few moves, because I don't think the roster that they have right now is good enough to compete with teams like the Lakers and all them in the playoffs. Not yet. They're close, but they're not yet.
I agree. I think we're starting to see that too. And we'll talk about it. I should have said this to start the show. We got, a chunk of voicemails to play. So shout out to you guys. And I think a lot of people are sort of calling for that same sort of vibe or move, you know what I mean? Like get someone else to help these guys. Cause here, I'm going to pop this up on the screen right now. I just took a picture of this when it popped up on the screen playing the Warriors. But like, you see something like this, that tells you that, hey, by the way, these guys are legit. This is for people listening. It's Larry Bird and Kevin McHale. It's saying the Celtics teammates to average 26 plus points in the same season. It's Larry Bird and Kevin McHale.
Look how much older they are too.
Exactly. In the 86-87 season, which most people would probably consider one of the best teams of all time, one of the best seasons of all time. We have the two, like the hard parts out of the way, right? We've talked about them on the show. They have the two necessary pieces. But you can't win a basketball game with just two guys in the picture. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a matter of it's what's around them. Obviously, you bring up the bench, but I think Kemba Walker, who I'm sure we're going to dwell on this episode, those are the type of moments you want him to step up into. So forget the bench for a second and forget any other scoring, you know, category you want to look at. Having your two young studs combined for near 60 points, but then having your number three guy, who we've defended to the oomph degree, drop, what were you, 2 points?
Yeah, not many. Not 4 points. Yeah, four. Two free throws.
Four.
Free throws.
I was severely underestimating.
You know, it's tough. You know, we defend him and we'll continue to defend him because at the same time, you know, I'm not on the trade Kemba Walker train. I'm just not.
And we will get your defense caps ready because some of these voicemails, I'm telling you,
get ready. It's just, you know, it's frustrating because these are the type of games where Kemba Walker needs to step up. And I know it's still early in the season. He's still, you know, maybe he's shaking off some rust. I think that was only his seventh game back or something like that. You can only use that excuse for so long. I'm not really using that as an excuse, but I'm just saying, like, you know, in these games and later on down the line, we can't be seeing these performances from Kemba. So I know he said he needs to figure it out. It's not a matter of Jalen and Jason adjusting to him being back. It's a matter of Kemba Walker adjusting to being with them. And he just has to work on it. He just has to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just because that was on such a big stage, right? Celtics, Lakers, weekend game, it's like all of a sudden everyone's going to harp on the fact that Kemba stunk, which he did. But haven't we seen Kemba? Like, we've seen, I would say, in my opinion, and I think this probably might be in the minority, I feel like I've seen more good from Kemba since coming back than negative. It's not exactly what we want to see, but, you know, we've talked about it on the show. We want to see how he moves, how he acts. Yeah. Is he actually injured? Is he sitting out games because he's injured, or is it actually rest like it's been? I've seen more good from Kemba Walker than bad. Now, people can dissect that and nitpick and say, well, you know, the numbers aren't there, or he doesn't, you know... You take that game where he gets pickpocketed at the end. It's like, okay, yeah, that's a huge negative. But to me, the majority of Kemba Walker's play has been, I guess, at least given me hope that this is going to work out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, listen, he looks good. Like, the way he's playing, the way he's moving and stuff, he looks great. I mean, I'm looking at his stats right now. He scored 19 points three times since being back. I don't know if 19 is his lucky number or something like that. He has 21, 14, 19 three times, and he has two games where he scored under 10 points. I mean, statistically, I mean, shooting wise, maybe it's not perfect, but he's still doing things. It's like, you know, where people are talking like since Kemba Walker's been back, he's just been all bad, which is just not true. There are plenty of games where he's looked good, and there have been plenty of spurts where he's looked good. People are just nitpicking the little things, like you said, like that steal, missing the game winner. I mean, listen, people are saying, why did Kemba Walker shoot that when he was shooting 1-for-11 at that point? That was an open look. Kemba Walker's hit that a million times in his career. It just didn't go in.
I don't think he wanted to shoot it. He gave that ball to Jaylen, and then I'm not ragging on Jaylen.
It seemed
Jaylen
forced.
Either.
It seemed forced.
He got that ball back. He passed it to Jaylen, I think Jaylen was gonna beat the guy on the fast break. You know what I mean? He didn't really expect it to come back.
And not for nothing, and I'm not blaming anyone for this, but there is a picture where Jason Tatum is calling a timeout, and the refs didn't do anything about it. So people are like, where was Jason? Why was he not up the floor? Well, that's the reason why.
Yeah,
it's tough. It's like you got to live with it. Same thing with Marcus Smart when he missed that game tying three against San Antonio. You know, people are like, why did Marcus Smart shoot that? Well, he was open. He was passed. He was given it to it by Jason Tatum after he was literally just about to get double teamed. Wide open. He just missed it. You know, it sucks missing those shots, but at the end of the day, you got to live with them. I mean, they're open, good looks. They just didn't roll in.
Yeah.
All right, so we just talked about a couple game-winning shots, opportunities, whatnot. So we got a voicemail in here from our boy, Ahan. He's talking about the late-game situations, about where's the ball going and whatnot. So let's play that voicemail, and then we'll react to it, all right? Let me know if you guys can hear this.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
You guys got it?
This is Ahan.
Yep. All right.
I want to talk a little bit about the end-of-game play calling. I know this is not necessarily the time that people are thinking about end of game.
So hold on, I'm going to pause it. He sent this voicemail in before the Lakers game. So it's just crazy that he sends that, and then all of a sudden we have late game play to talk about, right?
Yeah,
all
right.
Maybe he's got a talent.
Maybe he can see into the future. Yeah. I don't know.
All right, shout out to Ahan. Let's keep playing the voicemail.
Like winding down kind of plays. But as you know, the play has often been give the ball to Jason Tatum, and let him dribble around till 3 seconds left and shoot a step back three. And the thing with Tatum's step back is it is a pretty efficient shot. I think I read it somewhere, I don't have the number right now. He has one of the highest percentage step back three efficiencies in the league. So it does make sense that if you're going to ISO with somebody, it's going to be Tatum that's getting the ball. But I'm just wondering what you think about the whole vibe of, is Jaylen Brown getting the ball enough? Is Kemba getting the ball enough when he's healthy in those end-of-game situations? I think a good example of this would be the Pistons game where they got a mismatch on Blake Griffin off ball, and then Tatum drove and then shot a step back. I know it's hard to sort of backseat coach, but what are your general thoughts on the whole end-of-game play calling stuff? I don't want to, you know, sort of throw more stuff on Brad Stevens, but just – yeah, what do you want to see more? And again, game on the line kind of stuff. Thanks, guys.
I love the I wasn't even thinking like Brad Stevens until the end. Then he's like, I don't want to throw anything at Brad Stevens.
I don't want to say anything bad about him, but
what do you guys think of that?
I mean, I think, you know, Jason Tatum has earned the right, and I think he should be the one guy that can't be taking the last shot. I don't know if I put up the 4-0 when he was saying that. His Jason Tatum's trainer, his shooting coach, he put out a tweet not too long ago. He's like 40% from three with that sidestep three. It is very efficient. You know, people are like, why does he keep shooting that? It's not a good shot. Well, it goes in a lot, so that's why. But you know, it's like when it comes to a guy like Tatum taking the last shot, it's not the player that I have a problem with taking the shot. You know, sometimes it can be an iffy shot, this and that. I think Tatum's earned the respect to do that. I would like to see Brown, you know, we've seen him like in clutch situations down the stretch, you know, take those shots and hit big shots and they would go in. But, you know, at the same time, it's hard to argue that, you know, Tatum and Brown are the only guys doing that because, I mean, we mentioned Smart missed an open three to tie the game. Kemba missed an open mid-range to win it. So, I mean, I think, you know, everyone, if you got an open look, you're taking it. I don't think it's as like the ball is glued to their hands and they're just going to settle with it. You know, they're trying to get guys shots. They're trying to get guys open shots. And unfortunately, in the last week or so, they just missed some good ones. So, I mean, I don't know. Can it be different? Can Brad Stevens do a better job with play calling and all that stuff? Absolutely. I think that's something we can agree on. But I don't know. I think they've done a pretty good job recently as far as distributing the ball and making sure you take the best shot.
Yeah, I don't really care who takes the last shot, to be honest, as long as it's a well-drawn play. But I don't really see that often. Most of the times, you know, whether Tatum's hit the game winner or missed it or another player has, it's kind of just like ISO and you know, plays going on. But also, I really more so not just the last shot, but like in the last 2-3 minutes, want to see Brown and Tatum get the ball more. I feel like we're talking about them getting the last shot, but if they got the ball more, you know, in the last 3-4 minutes, we may not have to make a game winner because we may have the lead, you know.
Yeah, and bouncing off that a little bit, I would like to see Jaylen Brown get the ball more down the stretch as well, because one thing, I'm not saying he isn't, but Jaylen Brown is more aggressive than Tatum is. Like, he's not like settling for jump shots, 3-point shots. Like, he's driving to the basket, he's getting fouls, he's getting to the line. I mean, I think he's doing a career best free throw percentage and, you know, getting to the line. So he does a great job at doing that. So I agree with you. I think he does need to get the ball more, because the way he just paces the game and can get to the line and stuff, it's a game changer. So it's definitely something that I would like to see more of, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like the dream scenario in my mind is Jaylen getting the ball a lot more down the stretch, but Tatum still taking the game winner. Now, the reason being is I think Jaylen Brown takes better shots, to both of your points. He takes better shots than Jason Tatum. He'll get to the hoop. He takes an open three or an open mid-range jumper or a nice pull-up that we can trust now. Jaylen Brown takes better shots. But when the game is actually on the line with one shot left, I think you have to trust the guy that can make the difficult shot. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of, oh, can he take, he's a better shot selector. You know what I mean? He takes better shots. It's like, well, when the game's on the line, you're not always going to get a good look. So I'm trusting Tatum because he can make the difficult shot if they need to, a shot that's not open, a pull-up, a step back, that type of thing.
That game winner over Giannis. If you put Jaylen Brown in that situation, is he going to hit that? I can't confidently say yes. As great as he's been this year, I can't confidently say that he would hit that same shot. So exactly.
So it's like, and I think that you go back in history and it is the guy that makes the tough shot that wins games. You know what I mean? Because teams are going to lock up. So even though Jaylen Brown, I think looking at his efficiency numbers, looking at his shot selection, he probably, you know, takes better shots and makes better shots than Tatum. But when the game's on the line and you need a shot and you can't just trust, okay, well, it's going to be an open three, you got to go to the guy that can make the difficult shot. So Brown getting like that bump down the stretch.
You know who was like that too? Kobe Bryant. A guy that trained Jason Tatum.
Maybe the definition of that, right?
He literally, like, Jason Tatum wants the tough shots. Like, he lives for those moments. And, like, and it's like when you have someone that has that mentality, it's like that's the guy you want taking. I'm not saying Jaylen Brown doesn't, but I'm saying Jason Tatum's proved it. And we know he can hit those game winners, hit the big shots. So it's like when the game's on the line like that, you're right. Jason Tatum's the guy that I want the ball in his hands.
Right, and I mean, and obviously there's all these caveats of, okay, well, if Jason Tatum's smothered, he's not going to take the tough shot.
Well,
if
Jaylen Brown's open. Yeah, I mean, just, the Spurs. He could have shot a three, but he was starting to get doubled, so he passed it to Smart. Exactly. Right. He's not going to, like, force a shot. Like, if it's a tough shot, you know, he might still take it, but he's not an idiot. He's not going to take a shot with three guys on him.
Yeah, I think that kind of circles back around to Brad Stevens and kind of his play calling. Like, tough shots are coming from ISOs. You know, why aren't we running plays designed to get Tatum open and catch and shoot, you know?
There you go. Yeah.
That is a good point. Good question. Yeah. That could almost take everything I said and say, okay, well then let's not get to that point. It's even like you said, Riley, too. How about we don't get to the game winner situation? Let's just have better play down the stretch.
Why do we have to make it so close in the first place? You know what I mean? It's like we've been in these situations. Can't even count how many just this year. Like, we play 20 games, we've probably been in this situation for half the games, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's like, seriously, like, and I feel like I'm downplaying it too. I think, you know, we just got to focus on playing well enough throughout the game so we don't have to worry about who's taking the last shot and this and that. No, absolutely.
All right, so this voicemail, I think we might be dipping our toes into some of the the Kemba Walker talk now.
Oh,
right?
Here we go.
All right. So buckle up, guys. Get whatever you need ready.
Stretch out.
Here we go.
Your neck, do whatever you gotta do. Here we go.
All right, here we go.
Hey, my name is Makai. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts. And man, we gotta get Kemba Walker out of Boston. I was still high on him.
Right to the point.
We're gonna play the whole voicemail. He does go to sort of defend his point, but I love the we gotta get Kemba Walker.
No, he's not beating around the bush. He's going right for it.
But that helps when I'm screening these voicemails and I'm like, all right, what's this voicemail about? This guy knows the deal. I got the note right there.
5 seconds, right. You know.
Here we go.
You know, he wasn't healthy, and I'm thinking he'll come back and, you know, do his thing. And we don't even need him to be a number one option anymore, but he's just not able to provide against big teams. And that's all we're going to see in the East, seeing in Milwaukee, seeing in Philly, seeing in Indiana, seeing in Miami. And it's like, we have no depth. So I think the only option is, you know, you got to keep Tatum, Brown, and Smart. That's the core, but you got to get him out of Boston. You could trade him to the Clippers, get him to New York. We just need depth on the team. Like, I wouldn't mind getting a Randall and Austin Rivers back, or getting a Ibaka and maybe a Nick Batum and some other pieces. But man, Kemba got to go. And Time Lord needs more minutes. I'll leave it at that.
All right. So he mentions at the end, Time Lord needs more minutes. So maybe we can talk about that afterwards. But I
really hope he like forgot who was on the Clippers or something, because Nick Batum and Serge Ibaka ain't doing it for me.
No,
Serge Ibaka. No. I'm not saying they're bad. Like, they're doing well on their team. If you're gonna trade Kemba Walker, you're trading Kemba Walker for a very good player or like someone better than Nick Batum. The Austin Rivers, Randall, that's better than Serge Ibaka and Batum. So I'm just going to say this, and then I'll let you guys go. Here is my opinion on Kemba Walker, and this is why I think the Celtics should do okay. He's saying that he's not going to step up in big games. Philly, Miami, Lakers, stuff like that. Let's ride it out this year, all right? Get better pieces off the bench, fill guys around them, right? And if Kemba Walker doesn't show up throughout the year in the playoffs, then you know what to do. I think trading Kemba Walker, if you're going to do that, that's an off-season move. That's not something you do by the deadline. Because if you do that by the deadline, you're messing up all sorts of chemistry. You're bringing in all these new guys. Like, it could just mess things up. I say give it a year. See how Kemba Walker runs. Listen, he's been back for not even 10 games. Like, I just think it's extreme to be hopping on the trade him for this and that. Just let it ride out. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, then I'll agree. We should trade him. But right now, I'm not thinking like that.
I also want to say just really quickly before you go, Riley, but he mentions Makai in the voicemail that Kemba doesn't show up against good teams. He didn't show up against the Lakers, right? But he had two games against Philly, averaged 19.6 assists on 45% from the floor against Philly. Like, he was... Yeah. He was fine against Philly. You have Tatum against Philly, you probably beat Philly. You know what I mean? So
it's not that he didn't show up. I mean, he also played 22 minutes that first game. I'm looking at the stats right now. He shot
his first game was better. Yeah, the second game against Philly, he actually shot 1 from 7 from three.
That was
not as efficient, but like that's not the reason why they lost those games. Free throws lost that game. Depth lost that game. It wasn't Kemba Walker.
I understand what he's saying. I think voicemail was probably after the Lakers game, so I'm kind of wondering if he's changed his tone since we played the Warriors, because Kemba played fine against the Warriors. But it's too early just to ship off Kemba. You know, he's been back, he's played 7 games. No, it's
too early.
That's all it is.
And I've entertained the like trade, not entertained, but I've heard out the trade Kemba Walker crowd. Because people are like, would you trade Kemba Walker for Bradley Beal? And I'm like, as much as I love Kemba, yes.
So hands down, I want everyone to know right now, if the right trade is on the table, I'm good for if the Wizards called and they said, give us Kemba, give us a few other guys and picks, and we'll give you Bradley Beal, I'll drive Kemba Walker to Logan Airport and I'll buy him his ticket to Washington. I'm all for that. He's not untouchable. I'm not trading him just to trade him. That's idiotic. I just don't like the idea of that, period, with anyone.
I heard a trade this week, and you know, maybe we could do not trade Walker, but it was Walker for Lonzo Ball and JJ Redick. But what do you guys think about that?
I saw that. I think someone probably saw the same thing and commented it in my post game stream last night. And I don't know if I would do it. I think I'm like infatuated by the idea of getting JJ Redick, but I think Kemba Walker like is a better scorer than JJ Redick, obviously. He's a better scorer than Lonzo Ball, and I do still think if you bring in those two guys for Kemba, you have the issue of, okay, well then what if Jaylen Brown has an off night? What if Tatum has an off night? Where do you go? So I think it might fix other areas. It gives him a little bit more depth. It gives him that sort of bigger point guard, but I do think you'd lack in the offense. So depending on what the deal actually came down to, I still think I'm a no on that, but I would entertain a package. If it's not Kemba, I would entertain a package of Lonzo and JJ Redick, even though we've ragged on on this podcast.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree that, you know, Tatum Brown, you know, if an off night, we need someone else. But, you know, I don't think Lonzo could be that, but I definitely think he'd make, you know, Tatum Brown. You know, I think he's a better passer than Kemba.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, you know. I think Lonzo Ball is better at certain areas than Kemba for sure. I mean, defense is one of them. I mean, Lonzo's like 6'5", 6'6". I mean, he's a bigger body. This is why I think when I see stuff like this, I think about the team afterwards. Look at the fall of scoring. So you trade Kemba Walker, and who's going to be the next highest scorer on the team? You're asking Marcus Smart to be the third guy on the team. The drop off is too significant on offense. Maybe you get better on defense. Here's the thing. I want JJ Redick. Do not get me wrong. Like, I think he'd be great on this team. He's in his late 30s. So you're trading your starting former all-star point guard for a guy who is averaging 12 points a game, 5 rebounds, shooting 40% from the field, 32% from 3, and 64% from the free throw line. Listen, I know Kemba Walker isn't having the sexiest year in the world, but Lonzo Ball ain't coming off of an injury like Kemba Walker is. So Kemba Walker still has that excuse. Lonzo Ball really doesn't have an excuse for playing the way that he is. You know, it's like, yeah, I'll think about it. I'm not like, you know, I'm not over the moon about it. Like, I'm not going to be ecstatic or anything like that. But no, I just don't think it makes the team better. I really don't. I can't confidently say that it would make them better. If it's not going to make the team better, then you don't do it. It's just that simple.
Yeah. I would love to make the trade and keep Kemba.
Hey, I mean, listen, if we can get Lonzo Ball and Redick and keep Kemba somehow, I mean, sure. I mean, that'll definitely help with depth. I don't know if that could happen.
Yeah. So I think, does it sound like, are we all in agreement that the only package we trade Kemba for is Serge Ibaka and Nicholas Batum after all that deliberation? After
all of that, conclude everything, I would Nicholas Batum come to Boston, baby.
To conclude everything, we agree with Makai on the voicemail line.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys, before we get to the next voicemail, I'll say if you do want to leave a voicemail for next episode, the number is 617-299-9269.
Yeah, you got it.
Did I mess it up?
I don't have it in front of me. That sounds good.
Voicemail number will be down below in the description, whether you're on YouTube or Apple Podcasts or anywhere. I think it's 9269.
It's 617-299-9269.
There we go. Confirmed. Maybe Dante's got to say that every episode, not me.
I mean, listen, I'm good at reading. I can definitely open up Tommy Points and read that for us every episode. I won't act like I have that in my head. Like, I mean, sure, if you want to believe it, sure, yeah.
All right, here we go. This one's coming in from Marco.
What's up? It's Marco from New Jersey. The Celtics really fucking suck right now. Kemba needs to go. I really think Kemba needs to go. We need a center, a real center, not Daniel Tice. We need people to help out Jaylen and Jason Tatum because nobody can score clearly besides those two. And we got to do something, man. Danny has to make moves, or we're just gonna be stuck, and that's it.
All right.
Like the first guy, he's not beating around the bush. Just
but what
like,
I don't get how you can say, hey, trade Kemba, right? He's got to go. And then seconds later says, because no one can score on this team. It's like,
exactly.
How do you trade a 20-plus point per game guy and then say, hey, our problem is no one can score? It's like, yeah, no kidding, because you just got Lonzo Ball.
Well, we're just getting rid of a guy that can score. Yeah, exactly. I'm all for it. Here's my thing with the big man. The whole we need a big man. I agree. I 100% agree. We do need an upgrade over someone like Daniel Tice. But this is why I think the Celtics should focus on getting pieces that aren't centers, like bench pieces, shooters, wings, this and that. when it comes to the playoffs, and you know, this is going to be an issue no matter what. You go up against Joel Embiid and Anthony Davis, I'm sorry, there's no one on the market that's going to be able to stop them. You're better off sticking with what you have and just, you know, doing the best you can to just, you know, if you're going up against the Sixers, if Embiid does his thing, that's fine. Just make sure no one else does their thing. That's literally what it comes down to. There's no big man that people are saying, someone told me get Miles Turner. Have you seen Miles Turner and Embiid go up head to head? He literally, like, you want to talk about like someone being the father of someone. Joel Embiid is literally like the grandfather of Miles Turner. Like, he just suns him every single time they play. There's just no one out there. Andre Drummond, even worse. Even worse. Like, there's just no one out there that the Celtics can get that could physically stop someone like Embiid or Davis. You can try your hardest, but like, I just don't think it's possible. And that's why I think you're better off going after getting more depth and guys that can help out off the bench and stuff. Getting a big man, I agree. I would love a better big man. I just don't think that's a real possibility at this point.
Yeah, to kind of feed off what Dante said, you know, I agree. We could get better, you know, the center position, obviously. I think we will have a future center, Robert Williams, but, you know, that's a little far out. But, you know, if you think about it, other than Anthony Davis last year, you know, what top five center or maybe even top 10 center has, you know, led his team or been even part of a championship team in the past like, 10 years? Like, they're important, but, you know, other than like guys like Shaq, you know, I can't think of anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, you think of these teams like the Warriors, Draymond Green was their best big man. The Cavaliers, mm-hmm. Kevin Love was their big man. Tristan Thompson, I mean, he was their starting center for that run. I mean, exactly. You're right. I mean, it's big men, it's very hard to come by big men. Like, if you don't have a solid trade package for someone, or, you know, you don't get them in free agency, it's just hard to come by really good big men. And it sucks because I'll say it, Tristan Thompson isn't that great. I think people were hoping he was going to be better. I mean, I hope that he was going to be better than he is now.
Yep, we all did.
So it's just like, you know, you try to get someone that could help out, be a big body, and it just didn't work. So, yeah, I just think the Celtics, you're right. I think Robert Williams is the future center for this team. I think going back on the other guy that talked about Robert Williams, I think Robert Williams should be getting more playing time. I think it should be Tice starting because I think he works with the starters, and Robert Williams should be getting the center minutes off the bench. Tristan Thompson can get the scraps. He can get the leftover minutes. It's like, because while Robert Williams is in the game, I don't know how many times you have to say this. He's good. He's really good. He makes a difference on offense, on defense. He's a good passer. I mean, a very underrated passer, if I might say. He has some great passes. Why is Brad not playing? I remember he'd be like, I started two centers because I wanted Robert Williams more playing time off the bench. BS. Bullshit. You have someone like Robert Williams, like that good. You can't be saying, oh, like, we just want to play these guys ahead of them. Like, that's not a good excuse. If someone's that good as Robert Williams, you find a way to play him, like, the 20, 25 minutes that he deserves. You can't be using the whole Tristan Thompson's there, Daniel Tice is there thing. No, you make it work. And that's one issue I have with Brad, is that he doesn't play the right guys that he should be playing. Robert Williams is the perfect example. I don't know why he doesn't play more. He has to.
I agree. I think we've talked about this before. There's, you know, still times when Robert Williams, you know, he looks raw. You know,
for sure, for sure. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like at those times, that's when Stevens takes him out, starts giving him less minutes instead of letting him, you know, work through that and then learning how to become more consistent instead of, you know, all right, every time I mess up, he's been taken out. If I mess now, he's not going to progress like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you only get better with playing time. And, you know, you talk about there are moments where he looks raw and stuff, and I 100% agree with that. That's happened a lot less this year compared to years before.
Oh, yeah. Like,
there's
times where Tatum looks raw. There's times where Tatum, everyone looks
raw. That's just how it is. Yeah. That's just how it is. But, like, to get better, like, and I say the same thing for someone like Aaron Nesmith. The only way for him to get better is to play. Mm-hmm. You know, exactly. It's just like if he's not playing well, let him ride it out. You know, let him fix the problem. Like, just you can't.
That's
just
something Steven doesn't do.
No, I've noticed, he doesn't.
I think I wanted to say, I think these voicemails are a prime example of Celtics fans overreacting. After the Lakers game,
why do you say that?
Talking about kicking Kemba out because he scored 4 points. Now, you know, he plays well against the Warriors. You know, all these voicemails. You know, we have no bench. You know, against the Warriors, Tyson Thompson combined for 21 points. Grant Williams put up 15 points. You know, we just need to be more consistent, you know. Everyone overreacts, but then, you know, when we're doing, it's like, all right, you know, whatever.
I think we have like good bench pieces and stuff. It's like you said, they're not consistent. Grant Williams, I mean, if he did this every, if he hit, it was 3 for 3 from three every single game, hit, having 15 points, we'd be a we'd be a lot better. But the matter of the fact is, he does that once every like 10 games.
It's literally I'm starting once every to wonder, 10 games like, at this point.
Yeah,
like, all of our bench players are like, are all of our role players are like inconsistent, and I'm starting to wonder if they're all inconsistent, or it's because they're not playing with the right, you know, they're not playing, you know, with the players that make them better, you know.
Yeah.
So this is something I've literally been on for, even dating back to last year. It drives me nuts that, and I'm not trying to rag on Brad. I am trying to rag on Brad Stevens. That he has the coaching sort of strategy of everyone be ready. No one has a damn clue if they're going to check in, if they're going to go in the first quarter, if they're going to play 1 minute in the first quarter and then sit the rest of the game, or they're going to play 30 minutes all in the, like, you know, the second, third, and fourth quarter.
Yeah, there are some
games. It drives me nuts.
There are some games where Grant doesn't play, and then he plays, like, 25 minutes, and it's just like,
that would drive me nuts.
Pick a side. It would piss me off if I was a player.
The best sixth men of the year or any staple, they just know, hey, I'm the first man off the bench. Now, obviously, that's probably the easiest sort of parallel to draw here. But you give me a clear defined role of, okay, you know, everyone's healthy, right? Tristan Thompson knows he's going in, or whoever it is. I know I'm going in there. Okay, well, he just went in, you know, around the 4 minute mark. I'm like the seventh man off the bench. I know I'm going in. I'm ready to go. I know my job. All of a sudden, you start to build on that. And when you are Grant Williams, I hate to defend him because I've got a track record with him. But if you're playing, you know, 30 minutes one night, 15 points, playing well, and then all of a sudden the next night you're literally a coach's decision did not play. It's like, because of the matchup? What?
That does a lot, honestly, like morale-wise. Like that, I mean, I feel like that takes a toll on a player, to be honest with you. And it's true. I mean, you know, we talk about the bench, the guys off the bench not being consistent. Brad Stevens ain't consistent with his lineups and rotations. Maybe if he was consistent, the bench would be more consistent. You know,
no, it's like, that's what I was saying. I think, like, there's no possible way that every single role player is inconsistent.
But, yeah, I feel like every game Brad Stevens puts out a lineup that's something we haven't seen before. And it's just like, we don't need to be doing this every game. No, like, these are things we try to figure out in practice. Practice is when you figure these things out. In a game, we played 13 players against the Spurs, 12 in the first half. When some, like, you can't do that because
some of those guys,
like,
didn't even play, like, in the last three quarters.
No, you know what I mean? Carson Edwards played 4 minutes in the first quarter and didn't play the rest of the game.
That's
Aaron
wild.
Like, same thing. Yeah. It's just,
and
like,
we thought he was going to get minutes when Pritchard and Smart got hurt.
Yeah, what happened to that? And now we don't have Kemba, Marcus, or Pritchard tonight. I thank God I have to go to bed early tonight and I don't have to watch. What I hope Jeff Teague doesn't do tonight. Jeff Teague, I'm assuming he's going to start. And I'm happy I don't have to see that. I just pray to God. I'm going to go to bed tonight. Before I go to bed, I'm going to say a quick little prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I hope I wake up and don't see Jeff Teague had like an abysmal game. Just have him have a respectable game enough where the Celtics could win. I don't think that'll happen. I don't think God will hear me if I pray to him. But I don't know. It sucks. It's like, play the right guy. It goes to what I'm saying. Play the right guys. Carson Edwards has been playing well when he's given the opportunity. Play him. I don't see what the issue is. I don't.
Hey,
yeah, hopefully at this point, Brown and Tatum will just start playing point tonight. And just, you know,
I think he said, Brad Stevens said that he could be playing some point guard tonight.
That was last night, and it just didn't happen, though, really.
Oh, really? Did you say that last night? Okay.
Yeah, and I was like, okay. I didn't really see it. You know what I mean? So, like,
yeah. Well, I don't know. Brad Stevens says one thing. He literally said the two starting lineup. He literally admitted that it didn't work, and then he went out and started them again 2 games later. I'm just like, what are you doing? You're literally saying that it's bad, but yet you throw them back out there. Like, what does that even mean? It doesn't make any sense.
I'll say this to cap off the know when you're going in thing. I can speak from experience. In high school, I knew if we weren't blowing the team out by 40 points, I knew I wasn't going in the game. So when that moment came, I was ready.
I was ready to light it up,
and I did light it up. I brought the house down. The crowd was chanting my name, getting me in, but I knew when my moment was coming, and I got ready for it.
I love that. So relatable.
All right, let's get to another voicemail. I think this might be the last of the Kemba Walker see you later crowd. Let's see what we got.
Hey, Hey, Tommy Points guys, my name is Ben. I live in Charlottesville, Virginia, and I just love the show. You know, I want to say that first and foremost. But what I'm not in love with is the clutch play of Kemba Walker. I've been like paying attention to him since like last season, about midseason, when he had that, you know, turnover in the backcourt and we lost that game. Ever since then, I've been seeing a trend with him. He's not very clutch, right? Like in games where it doesn't really matter, he plays well, but fourth quarter situations, like in the bubble this year, last year, he's not coming up when we need him to. And it's not like we can take him out of the starting lineup. He doesn't really have much trade value at this point. He's a 30-year-old point guard with a degenerative knee condition. Like, what are some real options that we have? Like, where can we put Kemba, or what can we do with him to get more out of him in the fourth quarter and games when it matters? Thank you guys so much for taking this question.
I'll say this. Respectable.
That was the most respectable Kemba Walker question that we've gotten. I'll say that.
So he made great points too.
Yep.
No, yeah, he did. All right. So he's talking about the bubble, him not playing that well. Let's scratch the bubble. All right. Kemba Walker wasn't 100%. I think at this point we know that he wasn't himself in the bubble. I'm not going to disagree with what he's saying. I just think that's kind of like, you know, we have the injury to blame for that. You know, coming up in clutch situations, I think the first few games of the season, you know, in his defense, when you're on a minutes restriction like that, it's very hard to get into a rhythm of a game. Like that Philadelphia game, I don't know if it was the first one or the second one. He didn't play the entire, he played the last 2 minutes of the third quarter, and he didn't like play the second, play the first half, didn't play for like 10, 12 minutes, and he just didn't look good because he was cold. He just wasn't ready to go. He wasn't in a rhythm. So in a sense, I kind of blame it on that a little bit. But, you know, I think in order to fix it, it might sound crazy. Maybe he might be better suited as a guy that, you know, is more off ball than on ball. Maybe he's the guy that we don't, you know, necessarily need bringing the ball up or having the ball in his hands. Maybe Marcus Smart could, you know, he's having a fantastic year passing the ball, career high in assists. Maybe we can get Kemba Walker some open catch and shoot shots. Maybe we're just trying to, you know, get him going in that sense. I don't know. I don't think, you know, like that Laker shot, it was an open shot. He missed it. I think you can't take shots away from him or anything like that. I'm not saying you got to ride with it, but I don't know. I think there's a few factors that play into it. In clutch situations, I mean, if you want to fix it, just give the ball to Jason and Jalen more, I guess, right, if you want to do that. But
that's my answer to it. It's like just rely on him less. It sucks to say, yeah, but everything that Ben said in his voicemail about the knee, 30 years old, it's like, yeah, that's literally the definition of this guy starting to get phased out of the need for that clutch shot. Mm-hmm. We have Jason, we have Jalen, and then if Kemba's the third option as your clutch shooter, you're doing okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. I get it. Cardiac Kemba, he has the history of making the big time shot, but the team, the Celtics aren't living or dying on a Kemba Walker clutch shot right now. It's living or dying on a Jason Tatum. If not Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. Honestly, this season so far, if not Jaylen Brown, then Marcus Smart and then Kemba Walker. So it's like my answer is you're completely right, but you don't need Kemba Walker to be the clutch guy.
Mm. Yeah.
I agree. To answer his question to what we do about Kemba, write it out.
Yep.
That's all you can do.
Write it out.
He started last year amazing. You know, he was in game winners. His stats, you know, I don't have them on hand.
He was an all-star.
Amazing. Then he got hurt, dealing with injuries all last year. You know, come back from injury this year. There's nothing else we can do. Like, you know, we just got to see now that, you know, he's still coming back from injuries, so I can just give him a little more time, but, you know, back to his full self. But there's nothing else we can do.
Yeah.
Like, making, like, these crazy decisions, you know, based off four or five games is just something you have to just relax sometimes.
No, I agree. I agree with both of you. Yeah, no, that's the best way to
play. And again, his call was after the Lakers game, so I wonder what in that Warriors game. That's
right.
We'll find out next week.
I will give Ben the credit that he looks like, just looking at the timestamps here, he's the only one that waited till the morning after to call in.
So he had
he wasn't fired.
He sounded calm.
Thought about some things, and then all right. He did make great points. I mean, he's not wrong.
Call again.
Yeah.
No, we.
Ben,
I appreciate that call.
I mean, not that I don't. Actually, Ahan's probably the number one voicemail caller. Shout out to Ahan. But and then Sean. But those guys are connected to the show. I think Ben's probably the most logical voicemail caller so far. We got a couple other you guys in here just calling for Ken. But while I do entertain and like the idea of you getting to the point in your voicemail, I'll take that any day of the week. You want to call in and be like, Jason Tatum sucks? We'll play the voicemail because you're to the point. But Ben, very good voicemail. All right, so I think just looking at my little like screening screen here, I don't think we're looking at any more Kemba Walker trade talk. So I think we're out of the weeds here. I think we did pretty good defending him.
I think we did all right. I'd give us a good rating, 8-9 out of 10 probably. Yeah, for sure.
But now we got another name that I didn't think we'd ever really have to talk about trading after the season. But here we go. Okay. I do have in the notes here a couple like just question marks at a bullet point, so this might be a weird voicemail. Again, anyone listening or watching, I kind of like listen to these quickly or listen to the snippet because I want my honest reaction on the show too. So here we go.
All right.
My Twitter at your boy Wayne. I'm not even a Celtics fan. I'm just here to call in and say Kemba Walker is first team all cardio right now. I don't know what he needs to do, but he needs to fix something. Maybe he needs some hose or some ass.
We weren't out of the weeds. I thought we were.
Also, trade Jalen Brown to the Wizards. We need it.
There it is. That's the end part. Here, let me rewind.
Okay.
So we weren't out of the Kemba Walker
first
camp.
Team all cardio. I love that.
I can explain that one.
I'm not a Celtics fan. Starts it off with that.
All right, what is it? What do we got, Riley?
I sent the voicemail into one of my chats, and that's my friend Wayne. He's a Wizard fan, so he's probably just
This
explains this last part,
so
right?
That's why he wants you. Okay.
Gotcha. Okay. Let me spin this into, I guess, just the segment, though, because I would say up until this season, Jalen Brown's been a guy that I think 50% of people would be like, all right, see you later. We'll use you in a package. Some people really believed in him. And even going back to when he signed the extension, right? It's like some people believed, some people didn't. We have to be at a point where Jalen Brown is untouchable, right?
He's untouchable. Him and Jason Tatum are untouchable.
Okay.
Completely. I am not splitting up those two, no matter what. I don't care. I don't care if Kawhi Leonard's on the table. I don't care. Hey, you want to say it's a hot take? Call it a hot take. I don't care if LeBron James is on the table. I'd rather Jalen Brown. I'm being serious. I'd rather the duo, keeping that duo together, than trading one of them for, I mean, obviously this is a crazy hypothetical, than a 36, 37-year-old that's on his way out in a few years. Like, it's just,
no.
It doesn't make sense. You want to keep these two together. We literally opened up talking about this. You got your two pieces. That's the hardest part is done. Just fill the team around them. That's it. Need to trade.
We've waited too long. We've passed up on too many opportunities to give up on Tatum Brown now, especially obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
But
if we were going to trade them, we would have traded them already, and we haven't. Mm-hmm. So at this point, you got to learn to love them. If you want them gone, then that I don't know what to tell you.
I just like that we're finally at the point where you are sort of a dummy if you want to trade Jalen Brown. You know what I mean? Like now, yeah, I didn't want to trade him or anything like that, but people had legs to stand on before this season. You know, most people like Riley, you know, you said you didn't even want to trade him last year. I think I'm probably in that boat. Dante's in the boat too.
Yeah, I'm in that boat
too. Yep. But there were people that probably could make a decent point. You know what I mean? Like not a decent point, but a valid point.
Listen, once he signed that contract, people were like, oh, now when that hits in, it's a tradable contract. Maybe that's why Danny Ainge gave him that much money. You know, people were thinking that way, but no. You can't trade him. He's making like $26, $27 million a year, which is a lot. I'm not going to act like that's nothing. That is like one of the like cheapest, like most valuable contracts right now in the NBA for the production, for what he's doing. And he's playing like a max contract player.
Yeah.
Like easily, in my opinion, he's top 10 in the MVP vote. I think he's like right towards the bottom. Just, it's just hard to debate that he's not. But yeah, no, Jalen Brown ain't going nowhere. And if you want to like throw guys at me, like sure, like you might be able to come up with a few guys that would be worth the trade. But I still think I'd go no. I don't think I can do it.
I think so too.
No, especially,
go ahead.
Especially, yeah, just, you know, his chemistry with Tatum. You know, that's
yeah. It's not like it's not like you're just getting rid of Brown. It's not like you're just getting rid of that. You're getting rid of the chemistry. Like, look how well Jason and Jaylen play. You don't want to split that up. Steve Kerr said before the game, he literally was like, those two guys are literally the two guys that you would want on your team. Like, those are the ideal type of players in the NBA today that every team wants. And we got two of them. And they like each other. They're mature. They don't have egos. They have a hardworking mentality. They just bust their ass every single day, every single game. Those are guys you want on your team. You just don't want to get rid of them. And if they play well together and they love each other, they're best friends, that's even a bigger reason not to split them up.
What's awesome, too, is they have said, both of them, either said or expressed multiple or answered questions multiple times being like, I want to be here long term. Yeah. Obviously, things can change. But I feel like you don't get young players often being like, I want to play for one team for my entire career, or you know, I'm ready to go to war for this team. All of this stuff. It's like the play has they're talking the talk, but then walking the walk to 100%. So it's amazing.
And they're 24 and 22 years old.
Still like 4 to 5 years away.
Years away from their prime.
It's wild.
Come on, like this. It's nonsense. If you want them gone, it really is.
It's wild. All right, here we go. We got two more voicemails. This one's a quick one. It's from Stone. I think he's left messages and left tweets from on Twitter as well. So I think he's following along with the show. But here we go.
What's up, boys? It's Stone from Taunton, Massachusetts. I'm calling about 10 minutes after the Celtics and Lakers game just ended. And I got to say,
seems
pretty
calm.
The most frustrating part of the whole entire game, just thinking about it now, is that we literally gave the Lakers 4 free points. That is beyond frustrating to me. I can't get it off my mind. It's just annoying. Thanks, boys.
What were the 4 points?
I know one was, or two points. Robert Williams accidentally.
Didn't they tip it in their own basket or something like that? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Twice. Yeah, so yeah, that's the 4 points.
I understand those things are frustrating, but if something. It's going to happen.
It's not like the Celtics were up by one and they tipped it in for the game. You know, it's nothing like that. It's like that happened during the game, and it's like you still had plenty of time to recover from that and move on from that. It is frustrating. I'm not going to say it's not. It's annoying, but like that's not something that costs you a game.
No, there's not going to be many games where we put, score for the game. And then
that's ridiculous.
We scored just as many points for the Lakers as Kemba Walker scored for the Celtics. That's the problem, okay? It's not the tipping it in the Lakers. It's that Kemba Walker scored just as many.
That's disrespectful. True.
It's exactly what happened. What do you want me to say? But I'll say this. How about we take that voicemail then and break it down into sort of, we'll spin off of it. What's the biggest frustration? You pick one thing, biggest frustration for each of us so far that we've seen. So forget, because he mentioned I was frustrated after the game. What do you think it is?
Late game overall.
Just overall, so far this year.
They've done a better job at this, but I'm going to go starting games off poorly.
Okay.
Just because, like we talked about before, how we get into situations where you got to take clutch shots and you got to take game winners. If we start games off better, we don't have to worry about it. If we don't blow third quarter, fourth quarter leads, double digit leads, you don't get in that situation. Against the Pistons, they were down 21 points in the first quarter and they lost by 3. Imagine if you didn't go down by 21, you would have won the game. It's just things like that. You know what I mean? It's like that. That's what's the most frustrating. And there have been games where, we've gone down and we've come back to win. The Bucks, we were up by 17-18. We lost the lead, but we still won. The Raptors, we were down by 20-something. We came back and we won. So, I mean, there are some instances where, we blow leads, we win. We come back and we win. But, it's very frustrating when we do blow a lead and then, we lose because of it, or we start off weak. That's very frustrating.
Yeah, I'm glad you went first about that, because my frustration is the lineups.
And there you go.
We're starting poorly because most of the time it's always a different lineup.
Yeah.
Too many different lineups. Brad subbing in Brown when Tatum is in. Subbing Brown in when Tatum goes out. Like, there's just too many different lineups. The players need to know. I'm having a hard time explaining.
They need to know when they're going to come in and what situations.
Just too many different matchups. Like,
Listen, against the Philadelphia 76ers, he starts Grant Williams for the first time, and he sucked. Guess who started again the next game against Philadelphia? Grant Williams again. It's just like, it didn't work the first time. It's not going to work the second time. We start two centers for six, seven straight games. It didn't work the first six times, but we still did it a seventh time. It's like, you got, I don't know. I'm with you. You gotta have better lineups and start. I think it's a little better now, but I remember at the beginning of the year, the net rating in the first quarter compared to the second quarter, like it threw the roof. The offensive rating was like a 94 for Boston in the first quarter, and it was a 125 in the second quarter. It shows you that the guys that are actually doing things are the guys that aren't starting, that aren't playing, you know, when they should. Because if they were playing and they were starting, we wouldn't have that big difference. So yeah, I agree with you 100%.
The thing is, we're talking about lineups and stuff. It's literally like, you know, the word we can use is rotation. And the definition of a rotation is something rotating. And I looked it up. It's around an axis. And so it's pretty much, how about this? I'll put it in terms that fit my argument really well. A rotation is something that almost keeps repeating itself, right? It keeps rotating. Right now, the Celtics rotation is this like clunky broken wheel that like doesn't just
different
turn.
Every time.
Exactly. There's no the NBA, you know, oh, what's the rotation? What's the rotation look like? Brad Stevens doesn't have a rotation. No. Brad Stevens right now has a pick and choose who's playing based on a million different factors, which, yeah, you might give him the genius card for that, but it's also that's like you throw the sink at something, all of a sudden the sink's going to get clogged. I don't know if that makes sense, but you know what I mean? You try and do too much, it can hurt you. So my biggest frustration, I think it's funny that these are all related, but mine is really just like, the twofold thing of Brad Stevens. One, the rotation is, and two is the, I just don't see him being involved in games as much as I want to. It's not like a, I feel like I have to say this every time. It's not a, I hate Brad Stevens, I want Brad Stevens fired, there's a better coach out there. But it's a, I think that this team could benefit a lot from, one, the rotations, but also benefit a lot from a guy that's willing to vocalize during the game, get in the ref's ear, clearly give the team a pep talk at halftime, because every time it seems like they talk to Brad Stevens for an extended period of time, the team comes out half asleep. So, you know, it's
or call timeouts when we need them instead of having Tatum to try to do it.
Literally, he thinks that they roll over to the next game. It's I've been frustrated with Brad Stevens. I don't want Brad Stevens out of here. I just want Brad Stevens to continue to build. He's not a perfect coach right now, so continue to build as a coach. Just like Tatum and Brown are getting better, Brad Stevens needs to get better too.
Yeah, 100%. No arguments from me. So lineups, rotations, and blowing late leads. That's it. That's what's frustrating us, and it should frustrate everyone else too.
It's so funny because those are all so fixable.
It is. Oh, absolutely. I mean, the lineup. I mean, that's the easiest thing to fix right there.
You talk to another team, it's like, oh, let's get a superstar. That's my frustration. We have a terrible team. You know what I mean? Yeah, the Celtics are like, yeah, let's fix this little thing. But it's like, we can't seem to do it.
Yeah. Yep. Very frustrating.
All right, here we go. Last voicemail of the show.
Hi, my name is Darren. I'm calling from Cali, man. I just got done watching the Lakers and the Boston game. I feel like the season's a bigger presence in the middle at the five position. No disrespect to Tyus, Williams, or Thompson. They are great players. You know, Williams still developing. As you see, his game is getting better every year. But I feel like Tyus is still off the bench or starting. He will definitely need a role to help us get better in the team. But I feel like they need a five. I feel like with the money you trade, with the TP money you got for Gordon Hayward, go get a bigger body. Go get somebody who can block shots and play more defense, who will call more of a ruckus. Because think about it. Once they get that big man who stops the in-paint scoring, you have your two-way players in Brown and Tatum, and you got Smart. You know what I'm saying? So you have a defense on the perimeter. Once you shut the paint down, it's going to be hard to beat Boston. I feel like they're missing a big presence in the paint, and I feel like we got to stay healthy. If we stay healthy and they get what they need in the paint and Danny Ainge can just pull the trigger, we're going to see Boston, you know, raised by the 18. Because as we see, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, hey, man, I think they're ready. They need a good supporting cast.
Full circle. We
and
talked about that.
Once that good supporting cast comes, and that physical presence in the middle, and we gel that all together. Hey, man, It'll be tough to beat. You guys have a blessed one. Let's go Boston, Banner 18. That's what we're here for, man.
I like this game. Yeah. I mean, amen. Thank you, brother. I loved that. Yeah, I mean, that's literally what we've been talking about,
right? Hire him as the GM, right?
Yeah, yeah. I like where his head's at. I agree with what he's saying. I agree with everything he's saying, but it just goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's easier said than done going after that big man. It's like, you know, you just can't, you know, it's like we're saying like we want Bradley Beal straight Kemba Walker to the Wizards, but the Wizards have to say yes to that. People are like, we want to get Miles Turner. Well, the Pacers have to say yes to a trade. You know what I mean? It's like it works both sides. It's, you know, we want that to happen. It's, you know, we wish that we can have a better center, upgrade a center. But it's just like, you know, there's not much out there right now. And it's just, it's one of those things that you just might have to be a little patient with. But I agree with what he's saying. Absolutely.
Yeah. I feel like if we were to go for a center, you know, we should go all in. But
yeah,
there's no one worth it. You know,
it's
we're wasting, you know, the trade exception or, you know, a lot of cap space to get a center that hopefully will be better than Thompson or Tice. Because, you know, we've gone through that before. We hope Cantor will be better. We hope, you know, Thompson will be better, you know. So, and you look at guys like Jokic and Embiid, like, the Sixers and Nuggets didn't get them by trading them, you know. They just drafted them. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's hard to go after.
I would love to get Al Horford. Not to help the team, but to help Robert Williams, because I really think Al Horford
is good point.
Robert Williams.
That's a good point.
But see, even you say that, people be like, oh, but that's not the big juicy name. We're like, we already had him. It's like, that's the thing. It's like, what you
want
to go
then
get?
What do you want?
You want to go get the huge star name, right? Well, Embiid, you want to get a guy to stop Embiid, then get Embiid. Like, that's yourself the problem. That's not possible. You know what I mean?
You know, one guy who I've always liked and I'd love to see him in Boston. Karl Anthony Towns on the Timberwolves. Yeah. But what? How the hell are you going to get him? Listen, if someone like Jaylen Brown with his contract, like that's something you'd make work. And maybe last year, you know, I wasn't for trading him, but like now I'm not going to do it. But it's like in that sense, to get someone like that, you have to trade someone like Jaylen, and we're not doing that. Right. So it's just like, you know, what are you willing to give up to get a big man that even Karl, like as good as he is, you know, it's still going to be hard for him to defend guys like Joel Embiid and even Davis. Like it's better. It's better. It's an upgrade. But you know, it's still tough, and you can't just take a player from a team and be able to just take him for free. You can't, that trade exception. You can't just be like, hey, take this money and give us your player. Like it doesn't work like that. 100%. So, you know, that's just how it is.
100%. All right. That wraps up the voicemails. Again, if you do want to leave a voicemail for next episode, let's see if I get this right or else we're defaulting back to Dante. 617-299-9269.
Yes, perfect.
Let's go.
I was reading it too off the screen just to make sure if you slipped up. But no, that was perfect. Great voicemails. Great voicemails.
Yeah, literally, send those in. That's awesome for the show. Look at how much time that takes up. You know, you guys have just as much say in the show as we do. Maybe not.
That was
actually,
the bulk of our show.
Yep.
If you called up to voicemail, definitely call and leave it. I'm a weekly caller.
I will literally be mad if Ben doesn't leave another voicemail. He was calm, collected.
Come on, Ben.
Keep calling, buddy. Keep calling. Even if it's just to say hi, just call. All right? Just check it. I want to know how you're doing. You sound like
a great guy. Voice.
Yeah, you sound like a great guy. I hope everything's going well for you.
But all right, guys. I think that's going to do it for episode 9. Again, we got a few things to plug. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like the video. Comment down below. Pick up some merch. Leave a voicemail. We're firing on all cylinders right now. Right, we got everything going on. So you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Tommy Points Pod. Again, subscribe on YouTube. And you can follow the guys on Twitter at Color Sports for Riley. Dante's improving.
I'm getting better. Look at that. That's pretty good.
Follow Dante on Twitter at Dante on Deck and me on Twitter at Ev Guy Boston. I only did that because I knew where my mic was. Not gonna lie. That was super helpful.
Cheater.
Performance enhancing equipment. But all right, guys, you got anything else before we wrap up?
Go Celtics. Let's get a win tonight against Sacramento.
Yeah. Hopefully next week we'll be talking about a great West Coast trip.
And why people should be calling saying, I was wrong about Kemba. We do need to keep him.
I hope some Kemba Walker apology voicemails.
Yeah, hopefully he plays well this week so we can get some of those.
All right, we'll catch you guys in episode 10. Next episode's double digits.
Yes, sir. We're getting there. Peace out, guys.